This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Some good advice is the following. Begin with the end in mind. Have a think about, let's get a few responses here. When is it good in life, just in everyday life or whatever, where it's good to start something knowing where the end is? Building a house. You don't just walk past someone who's got wood and hammer and nails. Building a house. Oh, where's the plan? Well, no, there's no plan on building a house. Like, maybe, yeah, cooking's another one. Yeah? Cleaning your house. That's right. You're looking for that end, aren't you? That cup of tea after you've finished. But the end is that clean house. And that's the end you have in mind, Gay? Yeah, starting school. This is one I've talked to my students just this week. They can start a school day. They can start a school year. Thinking, where do I want to go? Think about the end of finishing off and finishing well. What else? Our Christian walk. Yeah, for sure. Where are we wanting to end up? I know where I want to end up in my Christian walk. And it's important for us to know where that end is in our Christian walk, so we know what's going to happen along the way. An Olympic athlete will have a goal in mind and knows full well that goal to get there, there's going to be stuff they've got to go through to reach that goal. They can't just get all excited about the gold medal and just think, oh, I'm going to get that gold medal and not do anything else about it. They need to know and be fully aware of what's going to cost them to reach that end. Is that correct? So, end times aren't really spoken about much in church these days. Maybe a few decades ago, or maybe here and there. But churches often shy away from the topic. Not spoken of much. And I think that the reasons are quite valid, because often so many things within end times are so controversial. There's so many views out there. I remember when I had a Bible in the back were all these charts sort of showing sort of end times views, and there was about like 12 of them. I'm like, what? Oh, there's got to be something that's right. But so I think sometimes we put it in the too hard basket, and fair enough, yeah, because we don't, though in scripture there's a whole lot of prophecies and things that point us toward things that will take place. It's only when things will actually transpire that we can look back and think, ah, that's what you meant by that. Think about all the people that missed Jesus at his first coming. Yet how many scriptures was Jesus able to refer to on the road to Emmaus, talking about himself in Moses and the prophets, that spoke of his first coming? And everyone missed it. Everyone's like, oh, it all makes sense now. That's, the puzzle fits like this. Ah, and that will be the same in his second coming. And so we can do our best to, I guess, have a look at some of the pieces and whatever, but it's not until things actually take place that we'll look back and think, ah, it fits perfectly. God is so amazing, isn't he? But that being the case, I still don't know if that's a good enough reason for us not to talk about it. You know what I mean? We may as well get the puzzle pieces out of the box and have a look at them and maybe try and do some of the edges and get a few of the, sky together and some of this together. So let's bring some things out on the table. Let's ask some questions about what's said of the end times. I don't have the answers. I'm not doing this to cause a stir or cause division. I think you know my heart that that's not what I do. But and there's so much we could talk about for weeks and weeks about stuff that's spoken of about the end times. So this is by no means extensive, but just some food for thought and just some food for some further discussion. So do you want to go on a journey with me? Let's do it. So I've shied away from the book of Revelation for, you know, for years, and I've read it a number of times. But to be honest, it scares me. It scares me. Yeah. It's confusing. There's stuff in there that's hard to understand. Is it really essential for me to know? Do I have to even focus on it? Do I have to read about it? Is it essential to my salvation? Let's just put it in the too hard basket then. Let's not look at it. The problem with that is that, I don't know, here's a few counter arguments for that. It's not really good enough reason, just because it's in the too hard basket, not to look at this important, you know, aspect of the Bible. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is for our benefit, to warn us, to encourage us. And looking at end times can certainly do those things. So sometimes it's easier to be ignorant, isn't it? It's really easy to be ignorant. Ah, it's great. I think some of my Year 8 students are doing that in the lead up to exams. Seriously, they're just like, what I don't know doesn't kill me. I wasn't paying attention for the last few weeks. But the exam will come, and they will sit before it. It's on Monday next week, period one. We've got a lot of revision to do until then. There are some that aren't living in denial, and they're studying for that maths exam, and they're going to do well. They're going to be prepared for it. So let's do some revising. So all throughout the scripture, from Genesis through to Revelation, there are things that point toward things that are yet to come for us. From Genesis all the way through. There are certain points that highlight it more than others, or they're more obviously talking about the last days. Matthew 24 is one of those. Some of the things in Matthew 24, it's amazing. Jesus is talking about the times of the end. Some of it so clearly gets fulfilled a few decades later in AD 70 with the destruction of Jerusalem. But some other things that he says right within all those prophecies didn't happen then and are still for the time to come. I need to sift through some things. In Thessalonians, Paul talks a lot about the return of Christ, that we'll rise to meet him in the air, and a twinkling of an eye will be changed. At the last trumpet, he's going to come. He is coming again. Jesus will return. He's coming. He will come in all his glory. And it will be amazing. And he's coming back for a spotless, sinless church. It's going to be an amazing time. But there are some things that are happening between now and then. In the book of Revelation, it speaks of great and fearful things coming upon the earth. Horrible things, disastrous things of epic proportion. And I think that there's a lot of, just before Judah was taken into captivity to Babylon and Israel into Assyria, the false prophets would come and preach peace, peace. There was not peace around the corner. And I really think we need to be careful that we need to know that for this world, it is not peace, peace. There are things coming that we can't deny. And I think so easily we become, especially in the West, so lulled into a false sense of security. And with that comes, live for yourself. Just do what pleases you. You know, make sure you get a lot of me time in there. Look after number one. I don't think that's good advice. So the good thing is, even with this puzzle that is, you know, the second coming and end times things, we know how it ends. We know what the big picture is. We know that Christ is triumphant and Satan is in the lake of fire. That's how it ends. That's good news. And so we can be assured that no matter what happens, that we know what's coming. We know the final destination. And we know that when the last credits roll, we know who's triumphant and who's going to win. And of course we know that once that end happens and eternity begins, it's not the end. It's not the end by any stretch of the imagination. Who's to just imagine what is going to be before us in all eternity, being in the presence of God, seeing him face to face? It won't be boring in eternity. I think there's amazing things for us to do and to see and to explore. It's going to be amazing. We need to look forward. We need to get excited about what is coming. We need to know that there's tough times ahead. We need to know that as in other countries, Christians are being persecuted for their faith. And I believe in Revelation it says that increases a whole lot more. But we need to know and get excited that Christ is returning. And we've got all of eternity to enjoy him. So no matter what happens, we keep that in mind. So often we do focus when we think about how dark things will get on this earth. We think about how worldly the world's getting and how difficult it is. Now as a Christian, isn't it amazing how a couple of decades ago, or even a decade ago or two, the church, I guess the church has always been seen in different lights, but isn't it changing? Isn't it changing today that how intolerant are you Christians? My goodness. Let's just go with the flow. Just accept that this is how the world is. And don't you dare speak against, you know, anything that is now the norm that not long ago wasn't. And we can see that it's like the pinch on the Christian church is getting more and more in the West. And often we think when we think about end times that's gonna be what increases. That's what, you know, we need to watch out for. But as I read Revelation, it focuses a whole lot on God's wrath and his judgments upon the ungodly. And so we need to know and be aware that it's not just about us being in the right place and us, we're good, we're going to be safe, but we need to have a heart for the lost because of the fearful and awesome and fearful things that are going to come upon this world and those who aren't in Christ. So this is one of a two-part series on end times, so it's good, that means, because we have only like 10 minutes left or whatever, and that's not much time. So, but I'm going to give you some homework, and your homework is to read Revelation. Can you do that? That'd be great if you could do that. I was going to be down for next week, and Karen, I need to talk to you about that, because I'll be at a funeral next week and have to preach the week after, and I've swapped with David and now found out that David won't be, so I'll talk to you later. Oh, he'll be here next Sunday night. Oh, next Sunday night. Oh, good. So you've got 2 weeks. 2 weeks to read 22 chapters of the Bible. It's achievable. I really encourage you, please do it. And if you're listening to this online or on the CD, make sure you read it by the 22nd. But in the meantime, can we just have a look at an overview of Revelation? This is just a quick overview of some chapters. Just if you haven't read it or if it's been in your too hard basket, or just as a refresher, this is certainly no means an extensive overview. But, that's a horrible yellow. Can I just apologise for that? I didn't know why that's doing that. Here in chapter 1, John's shown this vision. He's on the Isle of Patmos. This is, you know, about 20 years after Jerusalem's been destroyed in AD 70. And there's this description of the risen Christ. We're going to read Revelations 1 soon. Chapter 2 and 3, there's letters to the churches, Jesus speaking to the churches in Asia, stating their works, and he warns them, and he has promises to the overcomers within that church. Chapter 4, there's this amazing picture around the throne, the 24 elders and these four beasts. Chapter 5, we see that there's a book or a scroll with seven seals, and John weeps, there's no one worthy to open it. And then there's a lamb that's upon the throne as though he's just been slain, Jesus Christ himself, who is worthy to open the seals of this book. So in chapter 6, we have the opening of these seals, 1 through to 6. And these judgments upon the earth and as that happens. Chapter 7, we see the sealing of this 144,000 people. It's this mystery sort of number of those that are preserved through the tribulation that takes place. And there's a vision of these tribulation saints, which I believe are those that that aren't preserved, we'll talk about this later, aren't preserved through the tribulation, but actually are martyred for their faith in that time. Chapter 8 looks at the seventh seal is opened, and as part of that there's these seven trumpets. Angels are given these seven trumpets. And once again, judgments upon the earth. Trumpets 1 through to 4 are sounded. They're big judgments, like they're, you know, like a mountain on fire smashing into the sea and stars from the sky and all this sort of stuff. Lots of destruction, and it'd make a great movie. Hey, let's not worry about a movie, let's live it. Let's. Chapter 9 is trumpets 5 and 6, and these are not so much judgments upon the earth itself, but more upon mankind. All of these trumpets and things that come across upon the earth, these plagues and stuff like that, I believe just as Israel was preserved in the plagues of Egypt, I believe that that God's true church is preserved during these times as well. Chapter 10, Annalise was looking at my notes this morning and she's like, "The little book eaten, what?" That's what she said. John's given a little book and he's told, "Eat it," and he does. It's sweet in his mouth and then it feels all bitter in his stomach. And what's amazing, it sort of goes into this, all this stuff that you see in the book of Daniel. And so some people believe that book itself was Daniel that he ate, and then the prophecies that came out, Daniel and Revelation, are these two twin books that really match up so much. Quite interesting. Chapter 11, these two witnesses that are during the great tribulation period are witnessing, and the seventh trumpet is sounded. And chapter 12, which is probably the most, with different theologians, the most controversial chapter in Revelation, talking about the woman, the man-child, the dragon. The woman is then caught up and preserved in the wilderness during this tribulation time. It's great reading. Like, don't be scared of it. Even if you don't understand it, just read it. It's awesome. It's the Word of God. Don't shy away from it. Chapter 13 talks about the beast is the Antichrist on the earth and his power that's given to him and the mark of the beast. Chapter 14, we see the Lamb with the 144,000 and we see the wrath of God on the ungodly. In chapter 15 is a description of these tribulation saints, and after the seven seals, the seven trumpets, there's seven bowls of wrath in chapter 16 that are poured out upon those that are not in Christ. I think sometimes a lot of people struggle thinking that, like, I know people that they sort of see the Old Testament God, one of judgment, one of wrath on the ungodly nations. Then they see the New Testament God as one of grace and love and mercy, and they see them almost as two separate things, and we don't even need the Old Testament because that's not how God is today. I believe God's the same from start to finish and for all eternity. And I think that, yes, we are in a period of grace. We are in a period of this church age where Jesus has died, and we have this space of time to come before him and repent, and for people to have time. Like, people have time from any culture, any nation, any religion, any age, and just to come before him and be welcomed freely into his family. What an amazing time to live in. Do we realize the space that we live in now? But that time of mercy and grace, I believe, will come to an end. And God's judgment, which is being withheld, will be unleashed as it was on those ungodly nations in the Old Testament. He is still a God who is holy and cannot stand sin. So I don't know what this is doing to your theology. Hopefully it's just sort of a bit of a rocky boat to unsettle some things or just get you thinking. That's what it's doing for me. It's good. What are we up to? Chapter 17, there's a description of this blasphemous woman who's Babylon, riding on this horse, and not a nice sort of character, as you will read over the next 2 weeks. And then we're told about these beasts' heads and these horns on the beasts, and it talks about, you know, sort of translates sort of who, that these are kings and these are kingdoms and this and that. Then chapter 18, Babylon the Great is fallen. Chapter 19, we're sort of wrapping up here, praising God for his righteous judgments. Christ comes, there's war against the enemy. Chapter 20, Satan is bound. And for 1,000 years, we get to live on earth with Christ in the millennium. And then after that 1,000 years, Satan is released. He's destroyed. The dead who are not in Christ, who were destroyed at his coming, judged at the great white throne judgment. Chapter 21, the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. Chapter 22, it talks about the river of life, the tree of life, some final warnings and some encouragements. And so that's sort of a really brief overview. And hopefully as you sort of tackle and read it, that will that'll sort of help have a few things sort of fall in place. I'm gonna read, and if you want to turn to Revelation 1, we're just going to read the first chapter just to kickstart your homework. Is that nice? So you don't have to read chapter 1 if you don't want to, because we're going to read it now. This is what it says. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all the things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and he is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a gold band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. And it goes into what he says to those churches. And amazing. Two things there that I want to pick up on before we close. The first that Jesus told John, do not be afraid. So we can think about all that's coming upon the earth. And we can think about the judgments of God that are soon to take place. And we can think about the Antichrist that will rule and all of this mark of the beast and all this sort of stuff. But let's, like John, hear the words, do not be afraid. Why does he say that? Why would he say don't be afraid? I wonder if that's because he can see the end from the beginning. And we need to trust that. Just like when you're with, you know, a child and they're about to do something that's a little bit scary, but you know it's going to be okay because you're the adult and you know the end from the beginning. You can say, don't be scared, I'm with you. We need to be like that. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. The other thing is that he has the keys of Hades and death. He is in control. Jesus is in control. And things that come upon the earth are in his hands. And we need to know that. And we need to know that he is a good God and that he is faithful. And things may seem chaotic and out of control, as they even do now in the world. But let us not be afraid and know that he's in control. So let's leave it there. There's quite a bit more I wanted to get through in this one, but let's save it for next time. Isn't that good? We got it next time. And I hope you're challenged. I hope you get challenged as you read Revelation. I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that you can look forward to what the end is for us, because it's exciting. It's going to be amazing just to behold him face to face. That on its own, to get to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to behold his beauty and his glory. I do not want to miss out on that. Let's pray. Dear God, Jesus, so we thank you, Lord, that you're with us. Thank you, Lord, that you say to us, don't be afraid. We just see things that are happening around us in other nations and wars and different laws that are coming in, all of these sort of things. And God, help us to, first of all, not be scared of what's coming on the earth. Lord, help us to look up, for our redemption is near. Help us, Lord, to be a church that stands strong in these last days, to not be ignorant of those things that are happening around us. Lord, we want to be in your hands. There's nowhere else that we want to be. I believe that in these last days there's going to be a lot of panic from those outside of you. And Lord, I really believe that your church needs to be one that has the peace of God, the joy of God, and it's that which is going to be drawing people to yourself. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that, God, you would, as we read your word and as we let it soak into our minds and our hearts, God, bless it, just as you said then in that first chapter, blessed are those that reads and hears these words. May it be a blessing to us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship.com.